All right, Bobby Marks will join us here in just a few moments, looking back on Game 1 of the NBA Finals, get his take on what could be taking so long with the Raptors and their pursuit of a new head coach. Also, the discrepancy in money that's being spent on coaches. Frank Vogel just got himself a deal. He's taken over in Phoenix. That's where Monty Williams was. And, like, Vogel's not going to be in any danger of being financially strapped, right? But he is
going
to be...
How much less than Monty?
Per year, Vogel is going to be making $6.2 million per year. Monty's making $13 million. Like, how do you
explain that? Yeah, but, dude, if you're
that?
An owner of a different team, you can say, look, man, you want the number or not, it's a hell of a lot of money to coach. We don't care what that other guy has or is making.
I understand that. But I'm saying you can look at it both ways. Like, what was Detroit doing where they felt they had to pay it, like, good for Williams. I don't care. There's no cap. These guys are worth. Owners are worth a fortune.
Yeah,
but he wouldn't take $11 million a year.
When an organization is desperate and they want the top guy or one of the top guys, and he tosses out a number and says, "I'm not stepping foot in the city for less than it." And if you really want him to make a statement, you give it to him.
Yeah,
it's like anything else. You only get the big bucks if you have leverage.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And trust how
me.
Much more did he get having to go to Detroit? Because keep in mind, Detroit's a little gritty, correct?
Yeah, and Phoenix is beautiful. Obviously, you're getting great weather down there. You're getting
State
a better
tax.
Team, right?
Yeah.
You get a grind. Like Williams could be it could be a legacy thing, right? You could get all that money, which is not going anywhere. You're set for life, you know, generational wealth. But you could get there, and in 3 years, you're still the worst team in the league. And then all of a sudden, you're out, and then you get lumped into is he that good of a coach? Like, are you paying a tax, like a legacy tax, in a way,
That's fair.
It goes south again, right? Where Vogel's coming in, he's got a chance to win another title. He won a title with the Lakers in the bubble. Goes down there with KD, and, you know, like, they got a lot of talent on that team. So, you know, we'll see.
Trust KD, though? Like, I feel like he's gotten to that point where we all know he's an amazing player, but if this guy's not happy, then he's just, like,
yeah,
I'm out.
Check, it's always possible. He looks to move on, but by all accounts, he's happy down there. I think it's more health-related concerns with him at his age.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a percentage of a decline there, isn't there? Like,
yes.
He ain't KD of 8 years ago.
Right, and that's not going to return. And right. Like, that's what makes LeBron so amazing, is that LeBron is a physical anomaly. Like, the guy, he's never hurt. He's in perfect shape. Like, it's almost like he's the most in-shape human of all time. Guy's never hurt. He can play minutes every night. He can go forever. He's going to continue to go. KD's not built like that. You know,
right.
No one's really built like that. So, yeah, I think it's more about do you have faith in whether or not he can stay healthy as opposed to anything else. But it's still, the talent is there, right? And you got Devin Booker. And listen, $6.2 million, Frank Vogel's not complaining. There's no complaint there. But I think Monty Williams is feeling very good. Detroit or otherwise, hey, it's beautiful in Detroit. Taylor Swift's going to be there next week.
Yeah,
but Monty gets down there, pulls an Aaron Rodgers, right? He can get backstage, I would think, right? You think the Pistons can get a meet and greet with Taylor Swift? They might not have that kind of pull, actually. They might not. Here's
yeah, they can.
You think so at Ford Field?
Yes.
I don't know, man. Here's longtime executive in the NBA, ESPN, front office insider. Here's Bobby Marks. Maybe you have an answer for that, Bobby. Do you think Monty Williams can meet Taylor Swift next week? Can the Pistons pull those kind of strings or what?
I think Monty could. I don't know about the 17-win Piston team could, though. I think Monty on his own could.
Right.
I don't know about what I saw this past year. Maybe. You never know. Maybe the third show, right?
Exactly. Maybe by Sunday it's like, all right, come by. You can say hello, and then you got to leave. But man, that's a good deal for Monty Williams, and like he's making about $13 million per. We're just talking about Vogel's making about $6.2 million per down in Phoenix. Obviously, Pistons, you know, they wanted him, they feel like they need him, but that's a lot of cash, man. What do you make of that, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean he's the second highest, I guess we can call him player / staff member on the roster behind Bojan Bogdanovic, who's making $20 million. It's a huge number. I think certainly a sense of desperation in Detroit as far as trying to get this right. And 6 years is a, as you guys know, we've seen coaches turn over in 3 to 4 years. 6 years is certainly a big commitment from a financial angle.
So what did he do? Like, just say, I'm not stepping foot and getting off a bird in Detroit for less than 12 or 13? We were just talking about it. And what if Detroit came back and said, how about 10 or 11? Like, would he have said, stuff it for that number?
I don't know. We have the same agent, and from the
good on you
basketball. And I said, so I texted him, Spencer, and I said, geez, now you can retire. You know, either that, or you can get a dog. You know, like goodness gracious. I mean, that's I mean, 4 or 5 is nice, right? I mean, 13 mil per year is generational money, right? Like he doesn't have to, and he was already getting 20 from Phoenix. I'm sure there's a set off in there. Monty didn't have to coach, and I think that's where. Yeah, I mean, I'm already sitting home making 6 or 7, not have to do anything. What's the number for me to, get back in it here? And basically they doubled what he was making with the Suns.
Well, that leaves only the Raptors to hire a coach. The only coaching vacancy in the league is now up here in Toronto. And my read on the situation, Bobby, is that they're interviewing people that no one else was really looking at. And I don't mean that necessarily as a negative,
yeah. But
I think that speaks to why they feel like they're in no rush, because the guys that are on their radar, they weren't on the radar in Phoenix or in Detroit, or Houston for that matter. Do you get the same sense in terms of what's taken so long with the Raptors?
Yeah, I just never thought or felt from the beginning when Nick was let go, I guess that was in late April, that they were in a rush to get something done within the, first month of this process here. I think you're right. I mean, I think they basically have cast a wide net over this whole process. I think part of it is, and what I've learned certainly being in Brooklyn and New Jersey for a long time, is that you want to bring in as many people as you can, because it basically, as I said, gives you a scouting report on your own roster, right? Like if I'm Masai, you're basically interviewing people and say, don't hurt my feelings. Tell me about this roster. What do we need to add? Who should stay here? And if you can get 25 different scouting reports from 25 different perspectives, even though maybe you only have 3 or 4 in your high priority list, I think that's a huge offseason for the Raptors. You do have to eventually make a decision here because we are in June, and you've got the options of Fred coming up and Gary Trent, and you've got a lottery pick, and you do certainly want to coach him in place here. But, yeah, I just never felt that, unlike maybe some of these other spots, maybe it was Phoenix or Philadelphia, that there was a sense of urgency here, and we'll probably see something in the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
Bobby, what do you think the vibe is on the Raps from the outside around the league? I mean, they traded for Kawhi. Kawhi didn't pick Toronto, and now it's kind of they're middling in mediocrity. So are other guys around the league kind of passing on Toronto? I know there was a time early on where it was like guys weren't sure about coming up here. I mean, they got a guy through a trade. They won a championship. But what do you think the vibe is right now?
You know, it's interesting. If you had asked me out of the 5 positions that were open, what one would I put up ranked in the top, I would have put Toronto up there, certainly. I just look at it. You know, the other organizations, Phoenix, Philadelphia, there is and I know there's a pressure to win anywhere, but there's a little more pressure there as far as, hey, we got to get to a conference finals. We got to get to an NBA championship. I think there's a more of a working relationship, whoever Masai hires here, that it's, you're not going to be out in a year or 2 years here unless really things go off the rails here. So I think I still see it as a desirable job. Of course, free agency will play into that as far as who your point guard is going to be, if it is Fred. But, when you still look at the roster here, and Masai has proven, I know free agency is probably a little bit more checkered, but he's proven that he can go out and draft well and add in, these under-the-radar type guys to give you a roster here. I still see it as a, as one of the top jobs out there.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN. So game one is now in the books, NBA Finals. Nikola Jokic, this guy is a walking, talking triple-double. It's wild, man. Like, if you want to bet on him to get a triple-double, you got to pay juice. That's how crazy it is. It's a lock every night, and it happened again last night. He got a late rebound. He had 10 points. points, 10 assists at the half. Like every game he's playing, it feels like it's like this new record he's setting or matching. And I thought he played well last night. I think he can play even better if that's possible. Like, if you're the Heat, though, what are you taking out of that loss, and what do you think Spoelstra and company are trying to adjust to for game two?
I think what you want to do is, it's funny, you know, it's funny you're saying this, the guy who's earned MVP 2 years, in prior 2 years, that you want to make him a scorer.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like you're content getting him, hey, let him get his 30. As long as he's not killing you with 15 assists and then 25 points, you know, like, just try to get the ball out of his hands more. Let him, you know, I guess let him post up, make sure you don't double. But let them go to work in the post. I thought, you know, for the most part, Miami, you know, hey, they held them to 104 points, which is a good night. They couldn't shoot the ball at all last night, and that was certainly their Achilles here. But I think when you see Jokic as the passer and as more of as the point forward or point center as the facilitator, and it basically spreads the floor, and you've got either Brown or Murray or even Porter Jr. and Gordon, that group there, KCP, I think that's the way that Denver will beat you, and they will make you look bad doing so here. So I think for Spo, I think it's try to take the ball out of his hands here and make him more into a scorer, which I don't think Jokic will fall into that trap, because he's been good. You know, he's been good the whole series. I mean, he's been great all year, but he's been really good these playoffs here.
Bobby, I've said it for years, regardless of what sport, basically because I lived it in the NHL, but I have this idea that the Cinderella kind of never gets it done. And I think in this scenario, you would call the Heat the Cinderella, and it always seems like they just putter out at the end. Do you see that the likely scenario here?
Yes, and I picked the Heat to win the series just because I live in South Florida. I thought the clock was going to strike midnight in game seven, right? Like, eventually it's going to end here, right? Like, it's going to end some way. And I've watched this Heat team for a long time. I mean, what, 44 wins, basically bottom in offensive efficiency, couldn't shoot the ball during a year, had a lot of different lineups going in and out. Eventually, like, your role players turn into role players, right? I think you saw that a little bit last night with Strus and certainly Caleb Martin here. I think they got to get Tyler Hero back, which I think for game two, which will give them a boost here. But yeah, I mean, you have 8 or 9 players on your roster that went undrafted here. Like, eventually, if you're going to get a Jimmy Butler performance like that, which is what, 13, 14 points and really having a non-impact, man, your role players got to step up big. And, you know, they were, you know, average to below average at best here. So eventually it does catch up to you. I mean, I think Dallas back in, 2010 when they beat Miami and they had Dirk, and but they still had a lot of good players on that team with, you know, Sean Marion and Tyson Chandler and, you know, Jason Kidd and there. So I do think eventually catches up. I mean, game two is a must win for Miami. You cannot go back home, even though you're going home down 0-2, because you basically almost have to run the table to win this series.
Well, and a lot was made of them only getting to the line twice last night, but I didn't think they really deserved to get to the line much last night. And I didn't sense, like, of course they're going to complain about it, Spoelstra would be all over it, but, like, they shot for volume last night. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. They shot poorly, but I didn't sense they were compensating for poor shooting by getting aggressive and trying to get in the paint. They just kept shooting.
No, and Denver, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, I think even, like, if you're Denver, you're saying that, I'll give Bam 26 points. I'll give him, whatever, 20 attempts. And, you know, they're all twos. You're not, like, and you're not going to, everything was outside of the paint. You know, Powell's not going to get the benefit of doubt going to the rim, right? I mean, we just kind of know that. And, you know, the whistle is a little bit different in the finals here. And when you're not making shots, you're going to be down 21 points like they were last night.
Well, we'll see what comes of it, game two, Bobby. We really appreciate you finding time for us. I know it's a busy time of year. And I guess go Heat, go Panthers, too, right? South Florida. You guys
are rocking
down there.
Holy cow, right? Goodness gracious.
It's pretty good life down there.
Good place to be.
Yeah, pretty good place to be. Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, Bobby Marks of ESPN. Yeah, they got a good thing cooking down there, man. It could be a depressing 2 weeks, though, if the Heat and Panthers both lose.
Yeah, that's when the air comes out. Like, when you go that far, you're like, we get the same thing that everyone else did. Nothing.
Right. Someone's got to get a parade.
It's
Someone's
fun to enjoy, though, the ride. You know what I mean? Like, that, I'm sure there's people that have gone down for the games or, you know, enjoy.
Oh, fans, noodles. I had buddies, like my best friend in Carolina. he always says, that was one of the best times of my life because we lived in the same condo building, and he's like, another game every other day. And he did that for 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I had friends that were driving from Georgia, and I, like, we were winning series, so I'm like, you might want to come back for the next series. You're good luck. Mm-hmm. Next series. And then at the end of it, you're like, you get nothing. And people that are around it, they enjoyed the ride.
That's what it is.
But as a player, it's like, that's your gig and that's your job, and you go on the run, and it's a great experience, but ultimately you get nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just the truth.
I mean, people, you got the experience, but right, no, there's no, on the Stanley Cup, they don't put the runner up there. That's, unfortunately, that's what it is, you know.
That's the way it should be, though. You can't put the runner up there.
I'm just saying, like, that's...
You get an Eastern Conference trophy, and that's it.
Yeah, and you get
Gary
Bettman.
Throw a banner up. There's a banner in the building, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a banner, but it's not like a big... There's not a banner raising. It's just you show up the next year and it's there.
The banner's happens to be up. Yeah. Gary and the boys put it up in July. It's been up there for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, four teams still cooking, NBA and NHL. Only two of them are going to have the parade. Two of them are going to win.